Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on In the Loop. We got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adetula, hanging out with you. And Around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. It's Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, so the story that... it's kind of incredible that every time I look up at the TV, they're talking about what we talk about. the New York Jets firing Coach Robert Saleh yesterday made a lot of headway, made a lot of news. It was the big story. And it continued into today with more twists and turns as a reporter seemed to indicate that Robert Saleh was actually very close to... Mm-hmm.
He was going to, according to CBS Sports.
He was going to... At first, I heard that he was going to fire Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator. And then, very soon after, he was then fired in turn. But... I heard, I saw Connor Hughes ultimately give us this additional update that no, that report was not fully accurate. So Robert Saleh was never going to fire offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. However, he was going to demote his game day responsibilities.
Play calling.
Exactly. Yeah. So apparently the final decision by Saleh was made Tuesday morning. Then roughly 5 minutes later, he was called into Woody Johnson's office and fired. And according to, and like after Jeff Ulbrich, who is the defense coordinator, now the interim head coach, his press conference, he said it sounded very much like he too is considering giving play calling to Downing, Todd Downing, who I believe is the quarterback's coach, if I believe correctly, as opposed to the offense coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. So first of all, first question, do you think that that would be correlated? The idea that they were going to change play callers offensively and that then led to his firing?
I do. I don't know where you stand on this, but it just, and remember we were talking about, well, why didn't they do it on Monday? You know, maybe he came in, you know, had his time to review film and, you know, sort of absorb everything and decided, yeah, we need to make a call at, because, you know, things are getting crazy up there anyway, and this is crazier, kind of adjust play calling duties. And the thing that stuck with me is 5 minutes later, like 5 minutes later, which is just enough time for Nathaniel Hackett to text Aaron Rodgers and for Aaron Rodgers to text Woody Johnson and for Woody to say, yeah, come on in here. We have something that we need to tell you. I do believe it. I think it's that big of a mess up there in New York right now, from leadership to Aaron Rodgers pulling the strings of the puppets to Robert Saleh, you know, being the brunt, getting the brunt of the blame here. I absolutely believe it.
I'm not certain that I'm fully in that place. But I'm sure that all of that did not help the situation. Like, it does feel like Aaron Rodgers was ultimately the reason why. And there was a level of, lack of chemistry between them. But the thing that I also find interesting is, what's that going to do?
Yeah.
Right? What is it going to do, taking play calling responsibilities away from Nathaniel Hackett? Because Aaron Rodgers notoriously is he's a rogue agent, man. He do what he wants to do. Like, it in effect.
Oh, you didn't hear he was blindsided? Did you see that report?
All right.
Aaron Rodgers was... Did you see that, Figgy?
Yeah.
He said he was blindsided.
Everybody else found out.
He was blindsided by the news.
You might be able to say that in that you were blindsided that it actually happened in that way. But you cannot be surprised that this was the move, though, right? Yeah. Like, it feels very much. And I know Woody Johnson has also been in the place where he has said it was his decision alone. Right?
We didn't talk about that. I talked to Aaron Rodgers, but we didn't talk about that.
Yeah. All right, dog.
Blindsided, man.
Whatever,
probably
man.
Was blindsided.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Blindsided when Nathaniel Hackett told Aaron Rodgers what was about to happen.
Yeah.
I know he was blindsided right there.
Well, hey, I guess he's not lying then.
Aaron, they taking my job away. Oh, word? No, it can't be like that.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to call you right back.
I got you, bro. Yeah, exactly. Don't even worry about it. Don't even trip. Just hang tight. I got something for you.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is the news twist on the Jets story, as they continue to be a bleep show, and they will in fact be your opponent here in 4 weeks.
Man, and good news for the Texans, because I don't think, like you said, I don't think they're going to be any. It's not going to make that big of a difference. And Aaron Rodgers, he's not like a shell of himself. But he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he ain't MVP.
Yeah, he ain't Aaron Rodgers. So it's not like all of a sudden this is the magic bullet, you know?
All right, so more things around the NFL news, around the National Football League. And Kaimi Fairbairn deserves a level of congratulations. Again, mm-hmm. Clap it up, boys.
How about that?
Kaimi Fairbairn.
Is this twice?
Once more, AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Obviously, he earns this honor because he nails a 59-yarder mm-hmm. at the death, at the buzzer, in order to walk it off against the Buffalo Bills. I use two different sports statements in that talk about football, but ultimately, he knocks down a 59-yarder to win the game over the Bills in what was one of the two best games on that Sunday.
Yeah, it was.
Shout out to Kaimi Fairbairn, again, getting more love for his, and deservedly so, for his kicking ability.
It's uncanny when, you know, I was talking about the absolute game changers that you have to have if you're going to be a championship contending team. You need a quarterback. You need some big time cornerbacks, and you need a kicker that can that you can rely on. And there's nobody in the league that I would necessarily rely on more than Kaimi Fairbairn.
All right. So speaking of the Texans, in this upcoming week, they will be facing off against who, John Lopez?
That would be your New England Patriots.
That is right. So they have a couple of pieces of news. We'll talk more about this one in this upcoming segment. But Drake May will be the starter at quarterback. But then also, the Patriots have put Jabril Peppers on the commissioner's exempt list, right? We talked a little bit about his arrest on Saturday that ultimately made it so that he could not play on Sunday kind of abruptly. We found out about that on Monday, mm-hmm. in effect. But yeah, the 8-year safety is not allowed to practice or attend games while he is on the list. And of course, this is all because of, you know, the arrest, which kind of had
ugly-sounding arrest report.
Yes, yeah, the arrest followed a neighbor's 911 call in the early hours of Saturday morning, which in the reported disturbance involved Jabril Peppers and his girlfriend. And the police report kind of stated that he hit her, choked her, took off her clothing, and put her outside, which all of that, you know, sounds really bad, sounds really nasty. You hope everything is okay with her. But then it was going to be really wild mm-hmm. to have that, with all of that hanging over him playing football. So it felt like it was inevitable that he would be put on the commissioner's exempt list. However, the NFL has kind of geared and veered more towards the system of
let it play out.
Let it play out in the courts, and then we will then take our judgment of whatever punishment afterwards. However, this felt like a particular anomaly.
Sometimes the details of the arrest report are just too much to ignore, and too much to say. As Gerard Mayo, and I'm not blaming him, you know, he didn't know at the time. He was asked about this, you know, the morning after, you know, saying, well, you know, we haven't heard all the details. You know, we're gonna let the process play out. All that usual stuff. I don't blame him for that. But then when you get the nitty gritty, sometimes just the verbiage in the arrest report goes like, all right, we can't ignore this. Like that he may be, it may be you know, something that is not quite what the arrest report said, but we just can't let this sit, you know, and just let him play him as nothing happened.
Yeah, and it feels almost dirty to bring up this point in the face of the mm-hmm. allegations and how serious they are. However, you know, that's an important safety to this Patriots
defense.
No, there's
a football aspect.
There is a football aspect. He has an interception and 23 combined tackles in the four games that he's played already, so the Patriots not having him is a blow to the actual football product of this, and I guess a boon to the Texans as they will go up against them at Gillette Stadium.
100%. No, you. I mean, it's the natural thing to do. It might not be the most sensitive thing to do all the time, but yeah, that and on top of Drake May, as you said, we're going to get into that here in a little bit, but Both of those things lean heavily toward the Texans' favor.
Yeah, so now that I think I handled that about pretty well and professionally, I would like to get into some mess. Is that I think I
let's
will
get into some,
I would like to
messy.
Reward myself
let's
with a little
messy.
Bit of mess if you will oblige me.
Yeah.
And we begin with Bill Belichick, ball coach who is not coaching ball right now, although there's jobs opening up already. Mm-hmm. Only God knows when he will get his shot again.
It's going back to New York?
Hey,
going back to the Jets?
Could it possibly be? we'll get there, I imagine, at the end of the season. However, right now in the midst of the season, he's got allegations to levy against an AFC foe.
With this crowd noise, Bill, how do you simulate the crowd noise when you're playing these guys?
Well, I'll tell you, Peyton, the crowd noise there at Arrowhead wasn't as bad as it was when you guys piped in music at the RCA
okay.
Dome.
Okay.
And then when the crowd noise skipped, then that's how we knew we were pumping it in.
That is me. That was on the Manning cast. Bill Belichick, if you did not fully understand what was happening there, alleging that the Colts, at least at the RCA Dome, used to pipe.
He was stating it as fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
Piping music. And I love it. He is stating it as fact because he was like, and we used to know because that CD was skipping. We heard it. We heard that CD skipping and it was crowd noise.
Peyton started adjusting his collar like,
Hold on, wait a minute. Peyton Manning, quiet as it's kept. Some of these scandals starting to pop up. You remember that one time that Box came to his house?
What?
You don't remember the allegations that he would have maybe some supplements sent to his house?
Oh, that was a while back.
That was a minute ago, yeah.
And now we're saying, hey, Peyton Manning, not as clean and good boy as we want to maybe.
I believe Bill Belichick on this. He know a thing or two about cheating.
I don't know if I do.
I like the way that you put that.
Yeah.
You don't believe?
I don't know if I do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
if he wouldn't, I mean, if somebody would know, he would know.
No, you're right, but I don't know if I believe it. Well, in this case.
Well, let's see if this shifts your perspective at all, because vehemently denying the allegation that Bill Belichick set up here was Jim Irsay, mm-hmm. who is the team owner of the Indianapolis Colts, and he vehemently denied. He said, I lost the actual quote, but mm-hmm. Jim Irsay has vehemently denied that crowd noise was piped in. And he said that it was 100% fictional and the skit was the TV broadcast. He said, quote, "We get it, though. Visiting teams couldn't believe that 60,000 in an intimate dome stadium could make that much deafening noise. A credit to Colts fans."
So the TV skipped?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't the sound system. It was your TV. Maybe if you wasn't so much of a broke boy and you had a better TV.
Here's the one problem with that would maybe lead some to believe that Bill Belichick was right. Bill Belichick wasn't watching TV.
Yeah, he was in the arena. He was in the arena.
He was there. He was in the building. So I don't know. I've been in there a few times and it's really really loud. But
I mean, it's probably a bunch of teams that do this too.
Yeah,
like I can see a bunch of teams just piping in a little bit of crowd noise,
a little extra,
just a little extra, a lot of crowd noise.
Yeah, but put a little extra on it.
Yeah.
Just a little sprinkle of crowd noise. How much does the crowd noise factor matter to you? Because I know we talk a lot about it, and mm-hmm. You know we have a lot of conversation about it. In fact, we might have more conversation about it again today. But how much does that actually sit with you? Because the pumping in of crowd noise is always pops up, and people get real indignant about it.
No, that is dirty pool if it does happen. But I mean, let's ask Laramie Tunsil about crowd noise and how it might affect you. Because it's not just Laramie. I'm just using that as an example. We see it all the time. These guys prepare for the noise. They blare music at practices and all that stuff. And they still, on the road, teams get penalized more often statistically than at home for the pre-snap penalty. So, yeah, it matters.
Even that part, and as far as, like, trying to get the play in.
Yeah, all
that. We've seen where people had to teams had to burn a timeout
because
they couldn't hear the play mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
No, it matters, man.
Okay. A few things before we go here around the NFL. The Eagles released linebacker Devin White yesterday, which was kind of incredible. They signed up to a one-year deal that they need linebacker help
mm-hmm.
bad. And they signed Devin White, who is, you know, who has been a very good linebacker in his day. He's not particularly old.
I think he was a Pro Bowler, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. And he's just been inactive for the four games prior this season for the Eagles. And just he unceremoniously cut.
Yeah, before anybody says anything, no. The answer is no.
What question could you possibly be wondering?
Highball emojis?
The answer is no.
Nick, make the call, Nick. Make the call, Nick.
Especially not the way that Toa isn't playing now, of course, with the continued lack of information around Christian Harris and his return, maybe you get to that place. But, I mean, when Neville Hewitt's out here RKOing in the middle of the game, just put Neville in.
All right. Neville is the exception. He just keeps on going. But you'd be surprised how many, especially football players, that I've talked to over the years, and Devin White isn't old, but they know when the game is left them. They know how many players say, "Hey, if they want to pay me, I'll take it." Like that one last check, that one last big contract for 1 year or whatever. Hell, the Texans did it in 21 and 22 with a lot of players that are now out of the league.
Yeah, Kristen Kirksey.
Yeah, Kirko. I saw them calling Kirk Cousins Kirko, and I was like, that doesn't feel right. Kirko is Christian Kirksey.
Well, that's, you know what they're doing there is they're just like, we're going to do the ironic nickname for the aggressively white guy on the team.
Yeah.
It was him on my black nickname.
Him with the chains. They did that in Minnesota. Yep. Him with the swag surf, which he's doing now, which I would like him to cease and desist. Right? Like, that is the bit apparently with Kirk Cousins. And then finally around the NFL, if you have not heard already today, Nico Collins has officially been put on the injured reserve, which means he will miss the next 4 weeks for your Texans. So that hamstring injury that popped up after his 67-yard touchdown on Sunday, a little bit more than just a day-to-day, week-to-week element, he will miss four of them things for your Texans. And so a next-man-up mentality, and it'll be interesting to see how the offense adjusts.
Trust me, we have a lot to dig in when it comes to the Nico Collins IR visit and how it affects the Texans. But for now, let's just say what Sean Pendergast said. Ah!
can we go in the locker room and see if we can get the audio.
It was about 9:35.
Because now I just really want to hear it again.
I'm not good enough. It had to be spur of the moment.
Okay, very good. You're listening in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we mentioned this just a second ago. Let's dive into this. Drake May will be the starter for the Patriots. What is that shift in this Patriots game, and how do you feel about that for the Texans? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. Has it warmed up yet?
I don't know. 713-572-4610.
Now we're just doing, that's real lazy. Like, text
tell us if it's warmed
tell
up.
Tell us the weather. Like, I could just pull out my phone and look at the weather app. That's crazy. We love you getting involved no matter what, though. Yeah, make sure that you hang out with us. And text in, 713-572-4610. Especially as we get ready for the Patriots game. And there's all sorts of ups and downs when it comes to news on this Patriots game. You have Jabril Preppers going to the commissioner's exempt list because of his arrest for seemingly like domestic violence related things this weekend. You have Nico Collins going to the IR. We knew he probably wouldn't play this week already, though, but he now officially goes to the IR, so you'll miss him not just for this week against the Patriots, but for the next four at least. And so that was a whole bunch of things that's taken a lot of our attention. But then this came in yesterday as, I think, Figgy, I was hanging out with you over there towards your desk when I was like, oh, wow, this popped up. Mm-hmm. And the this that I'm speaking of, as you know now, is that Drake May was made, known to us at least, that Drake May will officially be the starter for the New England Patriots. He will get his debut as an NFL professional in the regular season. Jacoby Brissett, thank you for your service, but you've done enough here. And so now you go from a kind of savvy veteran in Jacoby Brissett, who's been around and in theory is capable of doing enough to get you by, to now for the Patriots, a guy who has a high ceiling, but seems like he is the least pro ready of the rookie quarterbacks that have come in. For you, Lopez, like, what are you immediately drawn to with this particular move from the Patriots?
Well, you know, from a Texans perspective, I mean, I would be inconsolable if the Texans lose this game. This is a win. Because let's look at it from a Texans perspective. You can't ask for better than this. Like, look at what young quarterbacks have done already. Rookie quarterbacks and a young quarterback to start the season have done against the Houston Texans. Caleb Williams, clearly much more polished coming into the NFL, or somewhat, I should say, because I don't want to dump on Drake May too much. But 23 out of 37, 174 yards, 2 interceptions, 7 sacks. In the opener, Anthony Richardson, 9 for 19, 212 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 2 sacks. Oh, how about a really polished MVP-type quarterback in Josh Allen? 9 for 30, 131 yards, 1 TD, 1 sack. They are absolutely throwing him to the Wolves, and the Wolves being the Houston Texans. They're kind of doing him a disservice. Not kind of. They're doing him a disservice.
Yeah.
But I also see them working here. I think they're in that mode right now. I call it a soft tank. Like a soft opening, it's a soft tank. Mm. Like, they want to be competitive. They want to see what they have in their quarterback. We are familiar with this. Nick Casario did it in 2021 and somewhat in 2022.
That wasn't no soft tank, though.
It was a tank. but this is like a soft tank. Let's find out about this guy. He's going to go against, we're not going anywhere. You know, I think, worst case scenario is also kind of a best case scenario. We don't win very many games and we move up in the draft. We already feel like we have our, franchise quarterback, but we'll have higher draft picks. I think this is kind of a page out of Nick Casario's book.
But I feel like Nick Casario would have the good sense of not doing quite this.
That's the thing,
right?
Like, why now?
Because, yes, I think we all, or maybe not, I shouldn't say we all, but I think for me personally, I looked at that team and I was like, okay, this feels like a soft tank in the way that you're saying, maybe not specifically those words, but they understand that what they have in a team around the quarterback position is not a great one. And so I think that we have continually had this ebb and flow when it comes to rookie quarterbacks coming into the league of, do you start them immediately and let them take their knocks, or do you sit them and let them learn? And I'm not sure if we have an exact answer, but it seems like the pendulum is swinging a little bit further back to maybe try and sit them if you could, at least when it comes to the popular thought process on it. And especially for this dude who I mentioned, not nearly as pro ready, at least in the eyes of a lot of the smarter people about football in this. And so it felt like, especially with the way that this team, this Patriots team is situated, not great blocking, those types of things. Let somebody else take those knocks so that you don't have a David Carr situation.
Yeah.
You don't ruin him early on with the level of pressure and without support around him, right? But now, even if you are going to then find a soft spot for him to start, the Texans defense is not that, right? And I understand, like, maybe you looked at Jacoby Brissett and you saw the 6-sack game that he had against the San Francisco 49ers. Oh yeah, that defense sounds kind of familiar to the Texans, right? Maybe you looked at that and you go, okay, that isn't sufficient, so you put Drake May in. But that's not the place where you want, because you saw what the Texans did to Caleb Williams in particular. And I have a strong feeling that they'll do a similar thing to Drake May, which is heat him up. Treat him like a rookie. And any time with a rookie, you want to test his decision-making, you want to test his steel in the pocket, and you want to heat him up. And I think that this team will be able to do that. This just does not make sense, in my estimation.
If I were a Patriots fan, I would totally agree with you. I think from the Patriots perspective, they probably feel what I said. You know, let's throw him out there. Let's find out what he's got. The worst case scenario is still kind of a good thing, all that. But you're right. Like, there is a risk factor involved here. Like, the Patriots offensive line is 30th in the NFL in sack rate. That's awful. I mean, there is a risk with this. But I feel like they're just going to find out on him. And boy, he's going to be seeing ghosts out there.
Yeah, man.
With this Texans team.
And what's crazy is I like going back, especially with rookies, and looking at Dane Brugler, who's fantastic when it comes to you know, being a media draft scout. He works for The Athletic. And so I pull up what he calls the Beast, his, you know, full accounting of all the players in the draft.
Yeah.
And Drake May, let me read you his weaknesses. I can read you his strengths, but let me read you his weaknesses and see if that bodes well with being under pressure against the Texans defense that will get after him. Plays with reckless tendencies, is still learning to, or learning the throws he should and shouldn't make. Generally, his accuracy is above average, but his arm gets juiced up and he will miss some layups. Needs to reel back some bad habits in the pocket, like excessive bouncing on his feet or fading away from throws. Needs to take better care of the football and is guilty of panic decisions as he is being sacked, turning a bad play into a catastrophic play. Of his 16 career interceptions in college, 12 came in the second half, responsible for 10 fumbles over the past two seasons. Two of his most inconsistent performances in college came in the final two games that he played. That sounds
that ain't great.
Not for them. Sounds great for this Texas team.
Yeah, lay the 7 points, by the way.
Yes. And now yes, he has the luxury of being at home, 8-3-2. That won't save him. That will not save him when Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and Azeez Alshire and Fatu Kasi and Settle and Davis and Edwards, right? Like, I think that they are going to be in his kitchen, and hell, Petrie and you know, guys firing from the corners. I think that they're going to light him up. And I think that this is going to provide a good opportunity for the Texans to get back to something that we were clamoring for at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Turnover defense. Oh, I think that is.
Count on it.
All right. If I set the over under at 1.5.
Over.
That's what I need to hear.
Yeah.
I need to hear multiple turnovers in the course.
At least a couple. Now, turnovers can be somewhat flaky, you know, but I would expect.
No, I need it, Lopez.
I would expect a couple here. Like I said, you know, this is an entirely different world. And what he's going to see from a defense that is fourth in the NFL and can light you up and is just coming off a game where they had Josh Allen seeing ghosts.
Yeah, they were. They had
they had Josh Allen wondering, you know, where all the pressure was coming, what, you know, where he's going to put the ball on the run, all that stuff. No, this is you heard Dan Orlovsky, right?
Let's hear it. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, you know, quarterback. And so he has some level of insight into how this works. This is what he had to say about Drake May getting his first start this weekend.
This is a bad decision in New England. One, their offensive line is the worst pass-blocking offensive line in the NFL. Right now, it is the worst. Jacoby Brissett, who has been their starting quarterback, listen to this. He has been pressured on 47% of his drop-back passes. That 47% is the highest number for a quarterback since 2006. You want to take a rookie quarterback and set him up to struggle, put him behind this New England offensive line. On top of that, it's a bottom probably 5 or 6 group wide receiver wise when it comes to getting open. This is not the right choice.
Wow. Yeah, you'll see sometimes in media where folks will kind of leave a little bit of room, like, hey, this is what I think or whatever, but whatever. Ultimately, just flat out, like, this is not
this
the right choice.
Awful.
But it's a great choice when it comes to your Texans. I think this is setting it up for an opportunity to have a fantastic game defensively.
I might have to bet this week. I'm not like a Sean Pendergast, Tyler Milner type of gambler. Every once in a while, I'll throw a little bit out there. I might have to, you know, get on those Texans a little bit.
Shout out to the 979 who said, translation, start Texans defense on your fantasy team. It does feel like that.
Yes.
It does feel like that is the opportunity here. Because, I mean, now, the one thing that I can talk about, and we'll talk more about this, is maybe that means that they lean more heavily on Ramondre Stevenson, and maybe they try and big boy a little bit this defense, because we know that they can and sometimes be big boyed with the run. But, yeah, if they're not going to be able to throw the football, you're not competing with the Texans, I don't think. And I hear myself say that, and I'm like, we are eventually going to have the conversation on if this is a trap game. But
maybe.
Yeah, but, yeah, I just – this feels like such a great situation for the Texans defense that Drake May will be the starter for the New England Patriots. Questions that came in, any updates on Christian Harris? I mean, we haven't heard anything
more. We are getting there. They're getting on the field in about 20 minutes.
I think the 12:25 is when they're on the field.
Oh, so, okay, 45 minutes.
Yeah, 12:25, yeah. They'll be on the field outside practicing today. And then, of course, it's a Wednesday, so we'll hear from D'Amico and CJ again. Or D'Amico talks today, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Later in the day, I believe you'll be able to hear some of that, or at least hear about that from The Drive with Clint Ron later. But yes, that's what's happening, or we haven't heard anything that's happening with Christian Harris in particular, but this defense, turnover defense, definitely needs to make some things shake this week. All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610 coming up next. Let's get into what's popping, including playoff baseball continues to have some fun things. And an interesting opportunity that has arisen in college football is a good one. We'll talk about all that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atatula, hanging out with you. Baseball. Baseball continues, and boy, is it really.
This is
really
fun.
It is fun.
It really has been a fun
postseason. I wanted to be bitter for a little bit.
I know.
It's been fun to just watch this baseball, man. And it's funny because when baseball gets going, right, like you have the first game starting at 2. I've going to be completely honest. I've been like missing that first game because I've just like, you know, leaving work, kind of getting myself situated, decompressing. By the time that third game gets going, and definitely
isn't there four today?
There are four.
Yeah.
Starting with Guardians, Tigers at 2. Then you'll get Phillies Mets at 4, 6 o'clock. You'll get Yankees Royals. And then you'll get into what has been my favorite series thus far, which is Dodgers Padres. In fact, that game was real lit yesterday, including this particular big time home run from Fernando Tatis Jr.
On an 0-2 pitch, a missile. Fernando Tatis Jr., electric.
That call by Joe Davis, who is the TV broadcaster for the Dodgers, mind you.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool call, like, in and of itself. Like, I think that it was, it really rose to the moment, but then also he allowed
it wasn't
the
like
crowd.
Bob Costas?
Yeah. He was not like Bob Costas
at
all.
Damn it, the Royals turned a double play. Dang it.
But that was a 6-run second inning.
And then it got interesting.
That the Padres put on Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
They were on his ass, and then all of a sudden the Dodgers were like, oh, wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not going to be just that. When you get Teoscar Hernandez, who comes back with, what was it, a 3-run blast in the course of that? Man, really fun baseball. What has been, have you enjoyed this, and what has been the best one for you thus far?
Well, I think that's been the best one. It's kind of hard to not say that. But every one of these series has, like, great storylines with it. And there is something, as much as, like you said, I want to be bitter, to just kind of watch it like you did before the Astros became awesome. Like, I used to love plugging into postseason baseball, just watching, you know, there's something special about it. But Detroit and the Guardians, I almost said the I word, Detroit and the Guardians, you know, obviously there's a great story there with the Tigers. Mets and Phillies. I mean, can you believe it? The Mets are up 2-1, and that would be crazy. And then Royals Yankees with Aaron Judge and the Royals doing, you know, wild stuff.
And apparently also, like, you had Jazz Chisholm, who only just recently joined.
That was a fluke, man.
He said the Royals were lucky, and
they got lucky.
He kind of doubled down on it too, right? Like, I got to find what the actual quote was.
I think he said they got lucky.
Well, yeah,
we're gonna win it. They got lucky, something like that.
So before, he said, it still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know? I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know? We're going to go out there and still do our thing. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like I said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky. He then came back on Twitter and sent out a message that said, if you don't believe that you're going to win, you won't. You better speak this bleep into existence and believe.
Well, that's better, actually. That's a nice cleanup.
It is a cleanup.
Yeah.
But he also did not. He doubled down in a way, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, no, I still believe that. We going to win. So there's been that level of excitement in the course of this. Somebody said we should revisit the Tatis. Was it a grand slam to Teoscar? Okay, it was a grand slam. Thank you very much. I was trying to think, was that all four of the runs in that third for the Dodgers? As you might know, I was watching this game, but I also was watching other things at the same time. But the Padres bullpen, or sorry, I wanted to talk about Tatis. Someone said that we should revisit the Tatis home run in Spanish. I did not get that, but now I'm really interested to see what it sounded like. So maybe at some point we revisit that and come back around to it. But yeah, Tatis remains kind of like, there was a fun time with his career because he became like, oh, this might be our face of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of slumped a little bit, and it's cool to see him get that level.
Yeah, that suspension too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he did. But now he's getting a rise. It feels like this could possibly be his playoffs in some way.
The way he pimped that home run.
Okay.
Though.
I've got a confession.
That's where you wanted to go
that.
To?
No, I've got a confession about that in about 35 minutes or so that I'm going to share with you guys. But it might be. You know, there's always someone that pops up in the postseason that certainly kind of takes over. So we'll see.
Baseball related, but obviously not playoff related because it is about your Astros. We found out today that Astros utility man, Mauricio Dubon, apparently he played the last month of the season with a torn UCL in his left thumb.
And he's having surgery.
So, yes, he is having surgery to repair the damage. He's going to go to a renowned hand surgeon, which, good. It would be really uncomfortable.
I'm
going
to go to a so-so hand surgeon.
Yeah, he's all right, guy. he's doing okay. And so, apparently, he injured his thumb while sliding into first base on September 6th against the Diamondbacks.
We remember that. Yeah, we saw that, and it looked like it was going to be something more serious. It was, and he just gutted it out.
So, yeah, he had typical recovery time, 6 to 8 weeks. He should be ready when February rolls around and you end up back towards spring training. But, yeah, that was an interesting thing to know. And maybe, obviously salute to him for playing through that, but also maybe kind of illustrate some of the difficulties for him. But I guess he played 18 games after the injury and did also still have a 291 batting average. So he handled it like a champ.
He did.
Some other things as we continue talking about what's popping. I want to get into what you have here, because what is happening here? I fully understand what you mean when you start talking about Florida man.
The Florida
man. But
it
piques my interest.
You saw this. So I'm sure you saw the guy. And apparently I'm wrong. I saw, okay, all day yesterday and overnight, this dude, they're calling him Lieutenant Dan, you know, from Forrest Gump. I said AKA Florida man because he's stupid. I wish I could say it in a nicer way. But he had every intent. He has every intention of riding out Hurricane Milton on his 20-foot sailboat on the water.
Okay, see, now we can call him stupid. Like, I think you know that it's kind
sometimes
of
sometimes it is appropriate.
It's a passionate point for me about like when these big storms hit, especially like in certain places. Like I know with Helene that really went inland to places that we did not expect to have hurricane issues with. You know, evacuation is not an easy thing, and I know that there's a lot of people that don't. I mean, hell, a $500 expense for a lot of Americans would be something that's not doable. That's the level of a lot of people. So, but to outwardly be like, nah, I'm riding this one out on my boat, I'm good. You wildin', man. So, yeah, a salute to all the people in Florida, especially Central Florida, who are trying to handle their business and make it through the Milton that is going through, including somebody who said they're listening to us right now, despite Milton.
Well,
salute
good.
To you.
Thank you.
Hope that you are well out there.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
up.
Yeah.
This Florida man is dumb. Actually, you said there's audio of this?
There's audio of this.
No.
Let's play this first, then I'll update.
Oh, no.
All right, Jay, they're saying 20-foot storm surge. Eh, it could be 120. It doesn't matter. The boat floats. The whole thing, put the water on the outside of the boat, and the boat will go up with the water and down with the water. That's what we want to do.
Can we please get you into a hotel?
No.
Everybody's been asking, man. We got to get you off this thing.
Listen, the only way I'm going to go to a motel room is if a woman invites me and she's going to expect. That's the only way I'm going. That's the only thing I'd give the boat up for is a girl.
A girl. Jenny. For a girl. Even with the 150 mile an hour winds.
You know what? I ain't worried about none of that.
Not worried, guys.
I ain't worried about it, man. What am I going to fear? Dying? My only fear is waking up tomorrow broke.
All right, that's fair.
Dude, it's a 20-foot sailboat.
He sounds like a street dude.
He is a street
dude.
He definitely does. But here's the thing. So overnight, and this has become an internet phenomenon.
I honestly had not seen it.
Really? It's all over.
I guess my internet just a little different, my bad.
Lieutenant Dan.
Different algorithm.
So last night, apparently I got the report, and this is wrong, because there's another update, that the police chief went to his boat. The chief of police in Tampa, I think it's Tampa, pleading with him to come out and said, we're going to take you off this boat. I mean, this guy's going to die. I hate to say it so bluntly, but this storm, they're saying...
I don't want to know if I want to say that officially that way, but I mean...
if he stays on the boat...
He does not give himself a good chance of living successfully.
The last one, that's a little more tactful. But
look, that is my whole goal, I think, at this point.
But the last one was a 9-foot storm surge. This is going to be 20 with 40 to 50 mile an hour stronger winds.
Yeah,
and
but
he's
Lopez,
on the water.
The boat floats.
That's what he said. He goes, we learned that from Noah. Okay, well, Noah might have had a little higher connection than you. Anyway, And so there was a report that they finally got him off the boat 10 minutes ago. For everyone worried, this is Brian Enten, who's a senior national correspondent for a national network.
They're sending national correspondents to check on him?
Yes. He said, for everyone worried about Lieutenant Dan, I just spoke with him. His name is Joseph Malinowski, and he still says he's going to stay on. So he's back on his sailboat. What are we doing?
That really upsets me because there's so many people that would like to go places that can't. And he's like, nah, hunkering down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Like, we talked about this on the Bite Me podcast yesterday because of all the craziness, you know, that we talk about on the water. Like, they're saying this is a storm unlike any other in history. That would get my attention.
Yeah.
Especially after you just got hammered by Helene. Like, the same place.
I don't know. How much of did they get, Helene?
Oh,
I know that.
Boy, they got okay. It good. Yeah, there's still debris on the streets.
Whew, that's tough.
Lieutenant Dan, hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, that's...
Kind of like Figgy the other day. We're all pulling for you.
Well, I don't know if we're all pulling for him. Sometimes you make your own bed. All right, I want to get to this real quick. Well, I don't even know if you can get to this real quick, but at least let's I'll set it up and maybe we'll see if we can revisit it, maybe even on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there's a group of investors that are willing to put up, let me see, what's that number one more time? Make sure
is I get it 75?
$9 billion, pitching $9 billion for a 70-team.
Oh, seven, that's what it was.
College football league.
Mm-hmm.
This is being deemed Project Rudy, is what it's being called. And this feels like continual death of college football as we know it. In fact, this feels like the real tangible death of college football as we know it, as it really becomes closer and closer to what I've always thought it will become, which is mini NFL.
Yes, but I think it's good. If those two things can
you think it's good?
I do think it's good.
Why is that?
Because let's not try to pull the wool over anyone's eyes anymore. There are only about really 40. 50 maybe teams that realistically have a chance to win a national championship.
And that therein lies the issue for me.
Oh, really?
I think that college football was best when the entire focus was not a national championship.
Oh, no. Now, that's fine.
We're
that's
really far down
sort
that
of a
path.
Different thought pattern.
Right. We're really far down that path. So
but
I
what
also
I'm saying is don't
I'm
pull the wool over your eyes because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a legitimate national championship run, real money to the biggest programs, and understanding what the pecking order is. So I get what you're saying, and that's the purest way to say it. I'm old enough to remember when just winning a bowl game was like winning a championship because, you know, it was hard to get into bowl games. There weren't a bunch of them. And if you got to the bowl game and won, like, but that's a different thought to me. We are in a place now where it is about playoffs and national championships and championships in general. And we already have conference championships. We already have national championships. The national championship, we have a minor league system. There's no other way to describe college football, major college football, than a minor league system. So recognizing that, this is good to me. And you saw the other news, I'm guessing, that college football is apparently trying to get done. The NCAA itself has proposed eliminating national letters of intent. Because why have them if you have NIL anyway? Just do the regular, financial aid and do the scholarship and people are bouncing around anywhere. So I don't know how that plays in, but I think it's realistically the best thing, you know, for us.
We are moving closer to one of the things that I do think that is at least more moral, if not better, is the idea that, hey, fully recognized as employees and just be able to actually do a payroll that fixes some of the stuff and brings other issues, admittedly. I was kind of surprised that 70 was the number that they sat on. And
it's a little high to me.
That does mean that the other 50 programs or so that you're talking about, actually probably 60 programs you're talking about, I think that college football becomes untenable in those spaces or a lot less tenable, but yeah, probably entirely untenable in those spaces because part of this would be consolidating, having more games against these teams in the 70 as opposed to the teams out of it, and then also consolidating the media rights over those 70 schools. And I imagine
let's just be real is my point.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just be real about what college football is.
I thought we eventually get to something that's maybe like 40 teams.
That's what I said, 40, maybe 50.
That looks kind of like the NFL.
Yeah.
And
by the way, our friend in Tampa says, so far so good.
beer fridge is stocked just in case.
Okay, excellent. The beer is the emergency supply. You know what? I'm not going to sit here
and
judge.
That's all that matters, man.
I'm not going to sit here and judge. God bless you. Hope you make it through well with minimal damage. And we will be here to keep you entertained right here, Sports Radio 610, your home of Houston Texans football. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, let's talk about those Texans, in fact. Does it feel a little bit like the Texans play to the level of their competition? 713-572-4610. Let's have that discussion next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.